my butt is right again? He said if I do this commercial with him, I could have a pizza tonight. The orange diet works. The only thing is it makes your voice sound like this. But at least I have hair. To order your Alberta 3-0-year diet, rush 1-9-9-5 plus $3 shipping to Raw Orange Diet 9251 North Gardner, Los Angeles, California 9004. It's absolutely the money back guarantee, because all raw oranges are fine. No, no CODs either, pucker lips.
So, give me folks.
Quiet!
Thank you very much. May I have your attention, please, folks? Now, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul Mack, and, well, I am the movie maker, and thank you. I want to thank you for coming to the first screening of my brand-new Super 8 film. This time, I've decided to do a documentary, and I've spent the past 6 months shooting and researching this project, which I call Behind the Iron Bars, Life at a Maximum Security Prison. Now, I gotta warn you that I didn't edit anything out of this film because I felt that it would ruin its impact, so there is quite a bit of blue language and obscene gesturing, so if you have any small children here, or if you're, you know, born-again Christian or Harry Christner, something like that, just leave the theater, okay? Thank you very much. Okay, everybody, you all set back? Jim, roll the project. Good. Okay, and here it is. Very good. Good evening. My name is Paul Mack. My occupation... movie maker. This documentary concerns life at a maximum security institution. This one in particular is situated approximately 64 miles southwest of Carson City in Mucho Calor, California. What you are about to see took 6 months in the making. 6 months of painstaking, life-risking, research-gathering investigation. What you are about to see is real. The participants are not actors, but are actual prisoners who have been sent to serve time in a maximum security institution. We are going to interview and follow the day-to-day activity of three typical inmates, and we're going to talk to the authorities that they must deal with in their encounters. First, let's meet the inmates.
What's your name?
I don't gotta tell you my name, punk.
Come on, you want to be in a movie, don't you?
Hey, the only kind of movie I want to be in is one who's got naked chicks in it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know what you mean, George. I was told your name was George. Is that right?
Somebody around here's got a big frickin' mouth. All right, fine. My name's George. What's your name, you little wimp?
Paul Mack. Can I ask you a question?
You just did! Hey, I got no time for this shit!
Well, what are you in for, George?
You really want to know?
Well,
okay, pussy, I'll tell you.
Pussy?
I beat up my old lady.
Oh.
Yeah, I beat her up. Then I raped the living shit out of her.
Ah, good.
Then I set fire to her house. Then I raped five other chicks and set fires to their houses, too.
Oh, good. How many years did you get, George?
20 years to life.
Oh, I see.
But I could be out in 10 for good behavior if I'm not caught with any matches.
I see.
This is Dr. Doctor, chief psychologist at Mucho Calor Prison.
George is a very difficult case. In all my years as a professional psychologist, I have never encountered a more dangerous individual. He was convicted on 6 counts of rape and 6 counts of arson, not to mention his poor hygienial habits. Therapy is progressing at a slow rate. It's going to be a very long road to rehabilitation ahead.
Well, doctor, tell me, do you see any possible parole in sight?
There's always a chance. There's always hope. Maybe 10 or 15 years down the line.
What's your name?
Peter! My name is Peter!
Nice to meet you, Peter. What are you in for?
Well, I'm in for at least 30 years.
What terrible crime did you commit, Peter?
One night at Thanksgiving, I got carried away and carved up my guests. I was sick of eating stinking turkey. I got tired of having those goddamn leftovers day after day after day. I hate turkey leftovers. I couldn't control myself. I went wild and I murdered all my guests. I hated them. Every year the same thing. They made me keep all the stinking leftovers. I hated them. I hated them!
Peter is an entirely different case than George. He suffers from chronic paranoia. It should be noted that every guest that he, if you'll pardon the expression, cut up, was carved in the shape of someone from his past. School teachers that were mean to him, doctors, his parents. This is another very tough case.
Doctor, tell me, what are his chances for parole?
With good therapy, about 6 or 7 years. But he'll never be able to carve or eat a turkey again.
What is your name?
Hello, party. My name is Al Bernay.
What are you in for, Al?
I gave love and affection to a police officer while he was on duty.
I beg your pardon.
You heard me, doodoo lips! I gave love and affection to a police officer!
Just a minute. What are you, Al? Fag or something?
Wouldn't you like to see what I do to people who call me a fag?
Nah.
Come here, you little shit.
Stop!
You're going to be kissed.
Stop. What are you doing? Quit taking the camera! Help, guard, warden, director of photography!
I wanted to learn more about this strange, bald-headed person, so I asked Doctor about him.
Oh, my God. You mean the psycho? That guy is totally loony. A real sicko. A real weirdo.
He said he's in for 9 months. Is that true?
Unfortunately, he's in for 10 months because he's snotty to a TV judge. But I don't see any hope of him ever getting out of here. Never. Oh, why did you remind me? He's joining our group therapy session today.
The group therapy session sounded interesting, so I asked the good doctor if I could film it. He told me that if I folded all of the bald prisoner's $2 maps, he would give his consent. What you are about to see has been left unedited.
George, are you still getting visions of raping women and setting fires to houses?
Yeah, I am. I love to screw women's guts out. And the fire is symbolic of the power of my dick going in them.
You are absolutely disgusting and vile. I don't think you were given any love and affection when you were growing up.
What's it to you, lightbulb head?
Study it. Would you like to be killed to death?
Are you threatening me with murder, you stinking little queerbait?
How would you like to be kissed, ass breath?
Make up your mind. Are you going to kill him or kiss him? If it's the former, I'll help.
Why don't you tell us about your parents, George?
I don't gotta tell you nothing, beach ball!
Your jugular vein is going to look like an accordion.
What about your parents, George?
My father left home when I was young. My mother was a drunk, and she still is.
I knew it. You need some hugging. Come here.
All right, that's it, you goddamn faggot. I'm going to take your friggin' head up. Hey, what are you doing? Stop that. Yeah. I'm getting dizzy.
Oh, George, get him. Stop hitting him over your shoulder.
Stop that.
Put him down.
There. Now that should help you.
You friggin' faggot. Hey. Now what are you doing? Hey! Stop it!
Al, now what are you doing?
What does it look like, bastard nose? I'm tickling his ribcage.
Well, stop it. Stop it.
Would you like to be next?
This is the last time I'm going to call for this. Stop it.
All right.
George, are you all right? George? George?
Yes. I'm fine, doctor. Al, why did you stop? Please don't stop. Al, do it some more. Please, Al.
Security. Security, quickly. Take George to the hospital ward and have him checked out thoroughly.
Why? What on earth are you doing? Please put me down. Where are you taking me? Al, help. Al, tickle me some more. Al, get this guard away from me. Al, give me some attention. You're bald. Al, you're bald. Tickle me, Al. You're bald. You have no hair. You have no hair. Tickle me. Tickle me.
The doctor was forced to then conduct a single therapy session with Al Bernay. He sent Peter back to his cell, and the session began.
Al, tell me about your childhood.
When I was in the first grade, I noticed a lot of the kids were not paying attention in class. I attributed this to a bad upbringing. I immediately sent Miss Johnson, our teacher, out of the room and began instructing the kids on how to feel better emotionally. Then I...
How could you know this and instruct them in first grade?
Shut up, bastard Knowles, and stop interrupting me. Maybe you'll learn the answer to your question.
Listen, let's cover your childhood at another time.
Typical governmental bullshit.
Here's a memo to my attention that says you refuse to sleep in the bunk we have provided. You insist on sleeping under it. Why?
I have to sleep in a cold, low, damp place, pucker lips. That's what I was used to at home, and if I don't sleep in that environment, then I won't.
You won't what?
I won't sleep, Pishika face.
Why in the world did you lock yourself in the meat freezer yesterday?
I told you before, ass breath. I had to shave in front of an air conditioner at home, and the freezer is the only place in this whole steam bath that is cold enough to suit me. Say, there's no way I could set up a bed and toilet in there, is there?
Speaking of toilet, it also says here that the reason you were 30 minutes late to the rock pile yesterday was that you were on the toilet.
If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. You and your government have made my inside so sore that it takes me...
Yes, I know. 30 minutes to take a shit.
They were lucky yesterday. Normally, since this place is owned by the government, it takes me 45.
I have a report here that says you were disruptive at dinner last night. What happened?
That damn chef! I'm sick and tired of mush! I will not eat mush! It is disgusting and vile! It reminds me of milk, and milk makes me vomit! Why in the hell can't they serve raw oranges here? They're cheaper, and you don't have to prepare them.
Why didn't you eat the hamburger we served for lunch?
It wasn't charcoal broiled, ass breath. Don't you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for the authentic backyard barbecue-style cooking, and you charbroil here with gas and lava rocks. That is totally unacceptable to me. Besides, you served hamburger yesterday, and I only eat cooked food once a week. And I never mix cooked food and raw food together at the same meal. Also, I cannot eat food that someone else has touched, unless it was someone who has been handling food for 4 to 6 hours. If someone else touches my food and I eat it, I will be deathly sick the next day.
I can't stand it anymore. He's driving me crazy. He's driving me nuts. Nuts! Cuckoo! Crazy!
The doctor's flipping out again. Hey, government bullshit official, you'd better get in here. Maybe he needs a choke or two.
We then hid our cameras along a cell block as we observed El Bernay walking and talking to each cell.
Viffle!
10!
Viffle!
12!
Viffle!
20!
You're top gross so far. Another seniority point. Viffle!
5!
Shit, I owe you minimum wage. Viffle!
14!
What's he doing, Doctor?
Well, he's going from cell to cell to see how many rocks they broke up today.
You're kidding.
Nope, and then he's taking them on a cellmate trip to the North Gate.
It is now 3 months later. El Bernay is about to be released and sent home from Mucho Calor prison. In the 10 months since he arrived, the prison has been transformed from a large guarded housing of hoodlums to what appears to be a home for overgrown wayward boys.
Al, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that you are finally getting the hell out of here. It's going to take us some time to get things back to normal. I hope to never see your ugly bald head in here again.
Would you look under the table, please? You should thank me, Doctor. After all, you have the only prison in the world that serves raw fruit at every meal, has a charcoal broiler in the kitchen, 3 zero-minute timers in the bathrooms, and basements with air conditioning in every cell. But it will still be good to get back to my own basement and pick up where I left off.
Before you go, I think you better say goodbye to your fellow inmates.
Bye, you guys.
That's goodbye, ass breath.
No, Al, please, don't go. Come here and choke me. Put 10 El Bernay fingerprints around my jugular vein.
No way, pal. Al, do me first. Think of my rook clash, please.
Spin me off your shoulder, Al.
Al, you're bald. You have no hair. Choke me, please, Al.
Please, Bernay, come back. Kill me.
Al, please. Please, Al.
such as life in a maximum security prison. At least, this is the case in Mucho Calor, California. A prison much like any other prison in the United States, except El Bernay was there. I'm Paul Mack. Good night.
Bend over, Al.
We hope you have enjoyed this fifth episode, too, From Birth to Baldness. That old chain gang of mine has been brought to you by Al Bernay, the weirdest, strangest, most bizarre humanoid ever to arrive on the planet Earth. If it's insane, you know it's Bernay. The part of Al Bernay was played by Al Bernay. Stu Funphone played the parts of Doug Llewellyn, Anne Bernay, and Peter the Prisoner. The parts of Judge Wapner and Dr. Doctor were played by Larry West L.A. The announcer, George the Prisoner, Prisoner Number 3, and Prisoner Number 5 were portrayed by Brian W. Feedback. Uncle Brucey played the parts of the officer and Prisoner Number 4. The map workers and the first two prisoners were played by Greg R. Atherton and Jaime Garcia. We'd like to thank our special guest star, Paul Mack, for playing himself on this recording. This program was produced, written, and directed by Stu Funphone. This is Stu Funphone speaking. From Birth to Bald, this is a Dippy Pew production. This is BHF, the Bald-Headed Fart Telephone Network.